Well, it is all your prayers again this afternoon. I'd like to start with a verse or two in the 11th chapter of Mark. Oh, the 12th verse. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Thinking this last week, I have some fruit trees there at my place, and they hadn't been trimmed for, I don't know, some of them maybe that I trimmed had never been trimmed. Trimmed an apple tree and pear tree and a couple cherry trees. And I sure made ugly trees out of them. Pretty trees don't necessarily bring fruit. That's not what the tree was for. When I got the tree, I didn't get the tree to say, I'm going to have a pretty tree. Having a pretty tree is a benefit, but I cut the limbs off of it and cut it down and made it kind of look ugly. But that's my expectation is. The expectation is that there's going to be fruit. The trees had fruit on it in May of this year, too, without trimming it. But it wouldn't have had quality fruit on it. It was getting too thick. And so trim these trees, different ones I want trimmed, I was thinking about how thick they had grown. The inside of it, they had grown, and they had grown out, but they had also just taken on so much inside them, just so many limbs. A lot of the limbs was dead, but a lot of them was just entangled with themselves, just so much in there. And I thought about life, we live life, and how if we're not careful, we take things on. We're not meaning to do it. Brother Larry mentioned after this morning's service, people can become slack in their soul without meaning to. It's not like we say, well, I'm just getting tired of it, I'm not going to do it. Many times it's the cares of life. I didn't trim a tree, this apple tree, in 5 years, and all of a sudden it's all a 1 year's growth there, another year's, an accumulation. I know a guy there near home that trims these apple trees all the time. Through the year he'll trim at them, and he trims them down, and they always are the way he wants them and trimmed, and they're thick and all this, but he continually trims and keeps them trees the ultimate position of bearing fruit, good fruit. But if you don't do it and take care of it, and at the end time, what's going to happen is you're going to get thick with growth. There may be things in your life today that's been there for a long time that really could have been took care of a long time ago. And maybe it doesn't really seem to be that detrimental to you. But it adds up. Over the time, it adds up more and more. And it comes at a time that the fruit really isn't that good. There's some fruit, but it really isn't that appealing. It isn't that good. Still got a testimony of a fruit tree, but it just isn't shining like it ought to. It isn't really like what it ought to be. And there comes a time to have to take care of that. That's what I thought about the trees that I have there at the house this last week. And now I have an anticipation. See, the work's been done now. I took care of years of adding on of things. Adding that didn't need to be too much. And I've taken care of that. And now I have an expectation. I have an expectation of having some real quality stuff. And I'm anxious, a little anxious and excited about seeing if the frost don't get it and if other things of nature don't get it. I'm really kind of excited to see how well they can do and just what kind of fruit I might be able to get off of that. You know, the Lord's here talking about a tree. But it's hard for me to think that the Lord really was caring that much about that tree. There had to be more to this story than the Lord's specific concern with one fig tree over there in that land. Of course, it wasn't just that. The Lord's just not talking about trees. Folks, He's talking about us. It's you that He wants to talk to. It's me. He wants to reveal something to us. Now, in this passage, the Lord comes to a certain time and He says, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I need something to satisfy the hunger. And He looks and He sees a fig tree. Now, a fig tree, my understanding of a fig tree is that the fruit sets on the tree before the leaves do. So when He looked at the fig tree and saw that it had leaves on it, a fig tree with leaves is supposed to be a fig tree with fruit. Now this little passage that says that it wasn't the time of figs didn't mean that it wasn't the time for figs to be on it. It meant that it wasn't the time that the figs should have been harvested off of it. Okay? That's the passage. It means that if the fruit was ever on the tree, the fruit should still be on the tree, that nobody come and took it off. And so the time hadn't come yet for them to have harvested, and yet here's a fig tree with leaves on it, and now there's an expectation. You know, the Lord has an expectation for every one of us. He does. He has an expectation. He knows what you are capable of. He knows what you can do. He knows that you are a fruit-bearing tree. You are a fruit-bearing tree. I think there's a passage in the Old Testament. I didn't take time to look it up. But I believe there's a passage in the Old Testament that says that you shall not cut down a fruit tree. You don't cut it down because it don't have fruit on it. You don't cut it down if it's a fruit tree. They were supposed to leave the fruit tree. Even if it didn't have fruit on it, you're supposed to leave the fruit tree because the potential of fruit was always on that tree. Don't go cutting the trees down around here because there's an expectation. See, if you got a tree that's supposed to be a fruit tree, it's supposed to have fruit on it at some time. There's an expectation of that. God has an expectation for us. He wants to get fruit out of our lives. So the Lord looks and sees a fruit tree, and He goes over to that fruit tree with the expectation. And I know the Lord knows everything, so I know this is the story for our good. He goes over to the fruit tree to get fruit off of the tree, but He was disappointed. It should have been time. It should have had fruit on it. But there was no fruit on the tree. Lord, help us to have fruit on our trees. And Jesus answered and said and did, no man eat fruit of it thereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Now, the Bible makes it very plain here to say this, that they heard it. Okay? The disciples was paying attention to it and heard it. Alright, let's pick it up again. Oh, let's see. Where does it to talk about it comes back? And in the morning, the 20th verse, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, it withered away. They was amazed. Jesus had said, this tree not have fruit on it again forever. No man ever pick of it again. Well, there's a lot of interpretations to that, isn't there? There could be an expectation it just won't ever fruit. There'd been a lot of things to it. The disciples obviously didn't know what the Lord was suggesting by this when He said what He said, but they heard it. They heard the Lord say something. And so now it's such a short time. It sounds like they went on and done the business. The next morning they come by, just in a short time, from evening to morning. And now they look and behold, this fig tree. Listen, folks, this fig tree just hadn't started dying. This fig tree, the very fig tree, was dried up all the way from the roots. This fig tree was done for. It's gone. And they look and marvel at this. Well, how quickly this thing happened. Look, it's totally, totally gone. There's no hope for it again. It's totally gone. And Jesus said then to them, have faith in God. Now, I like this passage of Scripture, and I like the answer. It's a very simple answer. Have faith in God. This opens up a whole vision to my mind. Because this one that spoke to the fig tree dry up, and it quickly dried up, must be a force. He's got the key to something. He's got the key. He can make it die and he can make it live. Now I want to ask you something. Doesn't this insinuate that if the Lord would said, he would have said, have faith in God. I say unto this tree, live again. You think that tree could have lived again? Now, you remember over there when Ezekiel, where he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? I don't know. Thou knowest, Lord. But the Lord went through the process to get to the point to get it all together. And he said, there's a great army marched out of these. Can these bones live again? I don't know if they can or not. Yes, they can. They can live again. God can kill what needs killed, and he can make the... That's the insinuation. What I get from this is the idea that here's one with the power to be able to do it. And when he answered the disciples... question without question almost, but this all, what was this? What was this all about? There was a simple question. This is simple and it's answered. Have faith in God. Believe in God. Put your trust in God. You say, I'm struggling. I'm struggling in this thing. I believe that we've in the footprints of spiritual giants. I believe men that have walked before us in this way have lived true and faithful to God. I believe I've known them. I believe there's been some that's lived true and faithful. And I look at that and say, they did it, but somehow I just can't seem to do it. Yes, you can. You know how they did it? They had faith in God. They wasn't smarter than us. They wasn't better than us. They didn't have any more equipment than we had. I believe that the old Apostle Paul was a faithful man, and I believe he was faithful to the end, don't you? He wrote those in the Bible. I love the 2 Timothy 4 where he says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. I believe he was faithful to the end. I love the passage. You know how he done it? Had faith. Had faith in God. He wasn't better, smarter. Well, he's probably smarter than me, but he was simply a man that was able to give himself to the Lord. You know, we can be just as successful today as he was. He bore fruit. He bore fruit for the Lord. The Lord chose him one time, and look what he got. Look what he got with Paul. Think about it. Look what he got. He was a man that was so messed up that he was persecuting and killing the saints. And he said he thought he'd done it, that he'd done it ignorantly, thinking that he was doing the will of God. Man, that's messed up. We all messed up. We all been messed up. But then the Lord came along one time, and he's going with a fervor, and he's going with a passion, and he's going in the name of God, and he's going along, and all of a sudden a light shines down and he gets struck down. What's this all about? Paul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Who you persecuted? It's hard for you to kick against the brick, isn't it, Paul? Do you know that statement in that passage makes me to know that God, Jesus was dealing with Paul. Because that don't make sense to all of a sudden just say that it's hard to kick against the pricks. You've been kicking against the pricks, Paul. It wasn't just right there. Jesus has been pricking at Paul, and he's been dealing with his heart. That's why that scene made sense to Paul right there. And now it's hard to kick against the bricks, isn't it? Lord, what would you have me to do? Got me an experience now. Got something. And you know, Paul went on. He was a murderer. He said he was chief of sinners. But he went on to be a well-pruned tree bearing fruit for God in his life. I imagine the Lord had to prune him a few times. You only want me to give you an example? There come a time that old Paul had a real temptation of being lifted up. So the Lord says, I'm going to send you a messenger from Satan to buffet you. A thorn in the flesh. Oh, Paul gets a thorn in the flesh. Given to him by the Lord. Pruning a little bit on him. And he goes to the Lord and starts praying, Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh. Prayed three times, he didn't move. And the Lord come and said, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, then you made strong. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, then Paul said, I rejoice. Know what it's about now. Lord, help us. God has an expectation for us to bear fruit. As Christians, bearing Christian fruit in 2015, being faithful to the standards that God has taught us, from outward standards of modesty, of outward standards of actions, of integrity, of inward actions, of actions towards others, of kindness and of reaching out. God has an expectation to see those things. One scripture says of those things that accompany salvation, there is things that accompany salvation. If you claim that I'm saved, then you ought to have the things that accompany salvation. Ought to have them on hand. Ought to have them on display. This is who we are as a people. This is what designates us. We don't have to put a bumper sticker on the car that says, I love Jesus. I don't have to put an I love Jesus t-shirt or ball cap on to say that I'm religious, that I love God. I ought to do it with my actions. Don't need a billboard or a banner. Although they might be in handy. I took the gospel truck one time from, I believe y'all met me at Parkersburg, I think. Brother Larry did, and I took the gospel truck and went on, took it to Tuscaloosa. And the old gospel truck had Church of God Evangelism on it. Remember? Isaiah 55 and 6, what is it, 55? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found was on the side of it. And I'm driving down the highway. Now it's hard to get away from what you are now. I got it on both sides, big old panel. You know, there was people come by me that would make all kind of ugly gestures at that. They would. They'd come by and honk a horn and, well, I won't do what they did, but they'd do all kind of stuff. And then there was somebody come by and go, blow the horn and say, yes, keep it going. I mean, there was that. But I thought it was funny because, man, you talk about an open book. Everybody knows what I am here. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to be a child of God? Are you ashamed in this world to stand up and say, I'm a child of God? There's people that are. There's people that want to shrink back from it. But you know, the Lord wants us to have fruit. And really, you're not at peace. We're not at peace when you're like that. God wants us to have a confidence in Him and a position in Him that we can go on in this world and represent Him in boldness, not arrogance, in boldness. It's not us that's wrong. It's them that's wrong. Lord, help us to bear fruit for God. 2015, to bear the fruit. And I don't know, it's hard to say being from different generations and all, but sometimes I do wonder, have we lost something from the generations behind us? Have we lost some power with God? Have we lost the ability to contact God? Have we lost the ability to touch the world as we should? Have we lost something here? Lord, help us. Have we lost something? When the Lord comes by and checks your tree, there's a time that the Lord's going to come by and say, I want you, brother. I want you, brother. I need some fruit from you, sister. I need something from you. And He sees it's time and you're supposed to be there and He comes. There's nothing there. What, What are we going to do with it? What's the Lord going to do with it? I need fruit from you. I need a witness right now for you. You are my ambassador. You're my epistle. I'm ready to use you and hand you to somebody that they might read something of me, that you might represent me. No fruit. No fruit. What fearful words to think that the Lord might say. No fruit. Ever again. Lord, help us. Listen to the rest of what the Lord says. It says, "For verily I say unto you, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed." Now I want to say something here. God is not interested in earth moving. It's not an earth moving company. That's not what the Lord's interested in. This mountain. You say, well, that sounds pretty literal. I know that the Lord can move mountains. He can build them. He made them. He can destroy them and do anything He wants to with them. But that's not what He's interested in. You know what a mountain is? A mountain's an obstacle. Now, I like the mountains. But the mountains are tough. You don't get around up there where I live like you get around to other places, like out here. You don't get around the same. When you go somebody that place over there and it's a few miles, you go a lot of winding and twisting and ups and downs, and it's a difficulty. And it was a much more difficult way back then without the horsepower of modern motors. A mountain was an obstacle. And the Lord didn't say that you could move them. Moving them it said remove them. And that's important because God wants you and I to remove some things. By the faith of God, He wants us to remove the mountains that's in our lives. God wants us to remove the mountain of guilt that we can have by not living right, by doing wrong. God wants us to remove that mountain of guilt. God wants us to remove the mountain of doubts that we can have. God wants us to work with us so we can bear fruit in the middle of this and move away the gigantic obstacles of bitterness, of being treated wrong, of vengeance and those things of greed and jealousies that are mountains to us and keep us from bearing fruit to Him. He says, you can, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that you could say to this mountain, you got a mountain? You got some place? I like telling this. It's a beautiful story. Brother Larry probably knows who I'm talking about, but his sister down in Holly Hill. For years, she come to our meetings. And for years, she put prayer requests in. For years. And it wasn't just but a couple years ago. She come to the... wasn't yet saved. Never was being saved. And she come to the altar and poured her heart out, and God saved. And her big hang-up was bitterness. 30 years of it, wasn't it? Or nearly 30 years of bitterness. She had an odd against somebody, and them against her. And she would not get over it. And 30 years of hanging on and doing that. And the Lord said, if you have a faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, that's too big to get over. I can't bear fruit with this mountain in my way. If you have that much faith, you could say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and be plucked up and cast into the sea. And I seen that happen and heard her and saw her with tears in her eye testify that she had no bitter feelings. Praise the Lord. That's what He died for. And fruit. I don't know if I would have said that tree was totally covered for fruit, but I saw fruit on that tree. Thank the Lord it started growing. Isn't that a beautiful story? It says, if you have, Jesus saying, have faith in God. You know, there are things that needs dried up in our lives. There's things that this needs dried up. We can, I said this morning about a trail. Sometimes you can get involved in things that you think's harmless. Or you can lend your heart or your emotions to something that you feel like harmless. But it's a dangerous thing to get your heart on something. Because That's who we are. Out of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's who we are, is what's in our hearts. And wherever that trail goes is where we'll be. And it's what we can become. See, in the whole thing. But God is able to help us when it becomes so strong we can't do anything else about it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. See, every high thing, all these things that come against us. High places, high things, things too big for the human thing. There's times that things become too big. Naturally, people get habited by drink and by cigarettes and by drugs, and they become too big. But folks, that's just a part of it. There's many people that never gave themselves to the outward drugs and things, that have the same kind of things inside them that's too big to overcome. God wants to see fruit on the tree. But there's sometimes He needs to dry up that thing and take that away. I've seen God work that way. Back when 1995, the Lord was dealing with me about going out full time in the ministry. And I'll be honest with you, it was a challenge. Not knowing what the future was, a change of lifestyle. I mean, that's never an easy thing, I don't think. And you know, I didn't see it all as it was happening, but I can say it as I got through it. I was always a very loyal person to whatever I was doing. I was very dedicated to what I was doing. And I had worked for 9 years for a company, and I'd been given many responsibilities and many jobs. I held a position, and I was devoted to it. I gave what I could. Struck honest with it. And I had a problem. I knew I was going to have a problem having to quit that. But you know what the Lord did for me? He started making it. And I know it was the Lord. He started making things happen. And we'll tell you, by the time that last day come, it was all right by me. And I thank God it wasn't God, it wasn't the people. I could have looked and blamed it on them or the situation, but I didn't. It was God breaking that in me so that I could go on and be faithful to Him. God had dried up something in me. He spoke to it. He dried it up. He took that away. I gave it to Him. I prayed about it. And God answered that so that I could bring forth fruit in the kingdom of God. The Lord is faithful. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now you know that's quite a strong promise, isn't it? That if he prays, not doubting, believing that he shall receive what he prays, it says that he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now again, the Lord is never a rubber stamp for you. Never. But when you desire righteousness, so folks, because we can get into Mercedes-Benzes and we can get into million-dollar homes here. That isn't what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about? When I desire righteousness in my life and I'm blocked by a mountain, I'm blocked by something that's too big for me to get, I can't get over it, I can't get around it, I can't get through it. I'm stuck here on this side of the mountain when I'm supposed to be on the other side of the mountain, and I can't get through all that, and when I desire it with all my heart to have righteousness in my life, I shall have it. The Lord will give it to me if I will have faith in God that this obstacle, we all have, you are who you are by a lot of ways. You are by who you are by your genetic makeup. You are who you are by your social place in life, by your environment around you, who raised you, certain things that was developed in you. That's who you are in the makeup you are. And some of it needs changed. Some of it's not good. Well, we all grow up with thinking it's virtue of what we grow up, but some of it needs changed. I found out real quick not to put virtue to my natural, because somewhere along the line that natural thing ends up corrupting. It looks good. I think it's the best way a person ought to be. Everybody ought to be like me. Everybody ought to be do what I do and the way I do it. Before long, I find out where that thing seems to be good in one life, it takes me way off somewhere else. I'll give you an example. My family was a confident family. And all the in-laws that married into us found out, and they all get together and say, that's a confident bunch of people. When they're not confident, them Clevengers are a confident bunch of people. Ain't no self-doubt hardly in this, but that's a confident bunch of people. Well, everybody ought to be that way. Well, I can see some benefit in it. And all of a sudden you come into serving the Lord. And I got a bunch of self-sufficiency in me. You know what, Brother Larry? I found out that I can't be spiritual by myself. I found out that I can't handle all the trouble that I thought I could. When I was growing up, my dad wasn't afraid of nothing. I don't know that he's ever afraid of anything. Where other people, men was afraid of this or afraid of that, they'd come get my dad because he wasn't afraid to tackle, do anything, go coon hunting and be miles back in the mountains by himself, night and day. I grew up doing the same thing as a teenager. I'd be miles off in the mountains at night, middle of the night by myself, shining my light around, chasing my dog. People, you do that by yourself? I don't know, there might be something back here. I'm the meanest thing back here, I used to tell them. Why ain't nothing tougher than me back in there when I get back there? But I was just raised that way. You heard something on the porch, I was a little boy. You hear something on the porch at night, middle of the night, and, what was that? My mom would say, well, go look, and then you'll know what it is. He taught us to go out and, hey, what is out here? Look around. People being scared wasn't what we done. It's confident. And I grew up that way and thought it was virtuous. Then I run into trying to be spiritual. And found out that I failed all over the place trying to do it myself. Brother Larry, can't do it myself. Wasn't virtuous. But I'm going to tell you, I had a mountain. It isn't taken completely out. There's something I got to deal with all the time. I got to deal with who I am all the time. To bear fruit, I got to deal with me. Lord, I need you. I'm finding myself failing when I try to do it. So I'm going to have to quit trying to do it. Got a mountain in front of me. Y'all back up. I'm going to move me a mountain. That's the way we done her. Back up, we're going to move this mountain. Now all of a sudden I can't even get my hands on the mountain. The mountain I find out is me. I'm the mountain, I'm in my way. It's my own self, I'm my biggest enemy, see. And the Lord has made a promise here. If you want righteousness in your life and where it's impossible for you to think you can change, you can change. You don't have to be that way. You can change if it hinders you, if it hinders others, if it's in the way. You can change. Because the Lord has promised, if I want that righteousness, I want to be better, I want to be more like you. The Lord's promised, you can have it. If you'll believe and not doubt. And you can remove all the mountains that are in your life. And I still believe it's available in 2015 for us to get everything that Peter had, that Paul had, that any of the great reformers had, that D.S. Warner had, that Brother Sam's had all the way up. We can have the same experience that they had. Because the same God is the one to give it to them. And He's still here, giving it. And we can bear fruit for God right here in 2015 when the whole world thinks Christians is a bunch of nuts. To be honest with you, most of them are. Christianity is a crazy. It's all mixed up. It is. Look at it. I don't know. I don't blame people being confused if they just take in Christianity out of view. It's a crazy thing. Somebody tried to blame the destruction of marriage on this alternative or this same-sex marriage. That ain't true. That ain't true at all. It don't help anything, and it's definitely wrong. But that ain't what done it. Bad living done it. Christians claiming that they got it all and then doing it. That's what's harmed it and hurt it. I mean, but just well put it where it's at. One guy wrote in the paper down there at home about it. They was right about, and he wasn't no religious, I mean, he wasn't a saved person. He just wrote in and said, some pastor and wrote in to him and said, don't blame, he said, if you're going to obey the Bible, why don't you obey the Bible? Said, you're throwing off on this marriage. Why don't you throw off on these other ones? Do you know that? And he said in there, do you know that the Bible says that one man and one woman until life separates you? And I said, amen. Amen. The guy don't know much, but he knows what the Bible says right there. It's what it says. But you know that we still have a God that's able to give us grace right here in this time. And we'll tell you something. Don't think just because people are acting like that there isn't people out there that will see. Because there is. We was in Salem, Oregon. Me and my family was in a Walmart. We come up to the checkout line. Now, I'm going to say something right here, right now, about my children. They're children. And sometimes people will come and say, well, your children are so good. Well, thank the Lord. Because they act like children. And we'll be on them. I mean, that's just the truth. They do things that children do. And when they're in the store with us, they behave themselves. And they've done it because we teach them to do it. And they do behave themselves, and I'm thankful for that. But we all come, and my children was nice and quiet, and they all come right along with us, and we come up to the checkout aisle, and they was on best behaviors. But I think their mama told them before they went in. All right, best behaviors. Let's do it right here. Well, there is all right. Come up to the counter. And they was a little old boy, started throwing a fit right in front of us. And I mean, he went to kicking and a squalling, and he was embarrassing mom and dad, and he was a flopping around on the floor, and right there. And you know, they got the attention. He got the attention of people looking. The cashiers was looking, and people was looking, and he was like, oh, he was like going along the floor. And his daddy, I say daddy, I don't know that. He walks by, and the little boy grabbed at his leg, and he kicked his leg. Oh, he was mad. He walked off, and now that. And what a scene. What a scene. We standing there, and all my children was like, looking at that, and I happened to just kind of get the face of the people. And they was kind of like that. And some of them was looking at us. And there was my children looking. Don't think people don't see. You can't tell me that contrast wasn't very visible. And I'm going to tell you, with everything that's going on in the world today, you as an individual can be a fruit tree. You can be a fruit tree. Some of it is learned. Some of it is because we want to. Some of it is the grace of God. Some of it is inspiration. But Lord, help us to be able to have a smile. I know we don't smile all the time. Jesus was in the garden. He wasn't smiling. I know we have those times, and they're real. And we have them, and they're right. But you know, we also have a world out there that needs help. And God hasn't chosen to stay here. Jesus didn't stay here on this earth to do it. What He does, He sends His people. He gets Him and His people, and He sends His people out as fruit trees. And every once in a while, somebody's going to look, and they're going to see, and they're going to say, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And there's a fig tree. I hope there's fruit on it. Because I'm hungry. And you know, we don't hear that much about, but there are still those people that just recently out in Oklahoma, there was a I don't know, he's Hispanic. I don't know where he comes from. I remember I met him. But he was a seeking. And he ended up getting a hold of Sister Rosie, I think it was, because he was speaking Spanish, couldn't speak English. And they couldn't really answer him. He got a hold of Sister Rosie and said, I think it was something like, I'm looking for something, and this is my question. Do you know this song? It was one of the songs in our book. And Sister Rosie said, yeah. She started singing that song to him. He said, I found it. He comes to our services. I mean, it's many times. I mean, it seems like a great young man wanting to serve the Lord. He found it. He found it. He was looking for a tree that had fruit. He found a tree. I was hungry. I want to find where the people of God's at. Found it. I found it. Many, many, many times. I'm telling you, over and over, and I like when it happens myself, but people will just say out of the blue, where you go to church at? Well, I didn't tell them I went to church. That's an assumption. Brother Larry, how do you know me and my family goes to church? Thank God, it's obvious. Look at us. You don't have to wonder. You know that we do. People know that we do. So they ask us, where do you go to church at? Who are you? What's your situation? Every once in a while, people will say that. It's hard to give a real theological answer at that time. But you can see that they're asking for a reason. There's something there. And you know, it's really difficult. Lord, help us to have fruit, is what I'm saying. Lord, help us to have fruit. Going through the store one time, and my wife was behind me in the shopping cart, and she clipped my heels. You ever been clipped by a buggy in the heels? Oh. You know, she clipped me in the heels, and I was like, oh, I can remember the feeling of it, and I remember the voice that spoke to me, you better be careful, you look holy. Now, isn't that right? Well, there's a holiness group. Well, what's that guy? You know, if other people would do it, you wouldn't even think about it. Would you? You can say, oh, well, that's the way the world is. What's the matter with that feller? What's he acting like that? Look how he looks. It wouldn't even go together, would it? Well, you think of me and my family going through the store and just now me throwing a fit and knocking stuff off the aisles. It wouldn't look right. Well, it wouldn't be right. But Lord help us. What I'm saying is, you think nobody's watching? Oh, people's watching. Your fruit tree. There's a fig tree. I see a fig tree down at the end of the aisle. I wonder if it's got any fruit on it. You see what I'm saying? That fig tree was a fig tree. It was a fruit tree. It had leaves on it. Maybe it was a pretty tree. But does it have fruit on it? You got to get up close to see if it's got fruit on it. We'll go out and see if there's anything to pick here. Well, if there's any fruit on this tree, I think there's going to be a kind of time. Lord, help us here. The significance to that fig tree to me is, you're better off to be a withered up fig tree, if you're a fig tree, than to be a fig tree without fruit. Because it hurts the cause. A fig tree without fruit isn't good. It is damaging to the cause of Christ to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh boy, you couldn't prove it by me. We need to have fruit in our life. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to me in my life because I have so many opportunities to talk to people. I talk to a lot of people. I meet a lot of people. The Lord is, I'm just saying, it's part of who the Lord has me to be. I can, not deep friendship, but I can make a friend a lot of times in just a little moments. Moments. I can have friendship going in moments sometimes just by coming up and saying, well, hey, how you doing? And meet that thing and click and all of a sudden it's rolling. Lord, help us to have fruit. Lord, help us to say, that was something special there. There was something there to that, that we might be able to convince the world around us. There's something to us. We as fig trees without fruit is very, very damaging to the upcoming generation. They're going to think that a fig tree is just supposed to be someplace you went and sat in the shade. It's going to be a place to just go have a picnic. Fig trees are for figs, folks. They're for fruit. They're for nourishment. They're to give something off. And when we teach the generation coming up that the only process of that we have is a religious process, we go to church. That's what sectarian world does. We go to the church. We don't have anything on the tree. There's got to be something on the tree that shows through our lives. So I pray that the Lord would help us as we go on from here. I know this was a kind of a short meeting, but I pray that the Lord would bring revival to our hearts and help us to quest for the fruit that the Lord wants us to have in this time. Because, like I said, it's really worse off. The worst thing that's happened to Christianity is false Christianity. It's just the truth. Don't blame it on anything else. The worst thing that could happen to this, Christianity, is people don't see what Christianity really is. I have a lot of problems with Christendom and what's done in the name of Jesus. But Lord, help us that we'd have fruit. You pray for me.